Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. How good is this?
Thrive City, baby. Let's go.
Live City, Thrive City, as we get ready for a little two-step between the Warriors and the Pelicans. And we also get you ready for so many other things. We are sending people to Vegas. We are out here promoting All-Star Weekend. We are getting ready for two back-to-back Warrior games.
We're going back-to-back.
We are in the middle of a 49er bye week, so we get to breathe and talk some things out with regard to that football team.
Sharks got to win. Hello?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Although Macklin Celebrini is out for at least two more weeks.
That's fine. The Sharks got to win.
The Sharks got to win.
We're focusing on the positive. They won't go 0-82.
Focus, people. Yep. Focus. Yep. So anyway, a few assignments for all of you today. First of all, if you're one of these people who's got Warrior tickets, and you're all fancy like that, you better come see us.
Yep.
Like, seriously offended if you don't.
You can't afford but to see us.
No joke.
We're like, that much in the mix.
The west entrance of Chase Center is right on our right, and that is the main entrance, and you should be walking through Thrive City at some point over the next handful of hours. You better come see us. I brought my little, mini football so we can run some routes. So everybody come on out here and see us. We got that. Also, pair of tickets to see the Warriors and Hawks on Wednesday, November 20th, right? Pre-Thanksgiving action right here at Chase Center. Just be listening at 3:30 and 4:30 today for your chance to win. Also, in addition to the two pairs, by the way, two pairs of tickets to
two pairs
game.
Outside.
Yes, we've also got the Vegas dance that we're doing all week long. Be listening between 5 and 5:30. We'll get you all set up for a trip to Vegas to see the Scorpions. We got all kinds of action coming to you. Live City, Thrive City, Willard and Dibs. Glad you're with us. Also, Mark Schlereth comes on with us at 3. Doc Pandy is going to be on at 4. We check in on Steph's ankles. Zaza live in the plaza. It is Zaza Plaza at 5:30 as we get ready for the game. So, we got all kinds of energy coming at you today and a whole lot of fun planned. All of that said, and I like, at the risk of bringing everybody down, I cannot start the show without sending our condolences to Charvarius Ward and his wife and the entire 49er family. As a father of three, this punches you in the gut unlike any other thing you could possibly think of. They lost their one-year-old daughter today, and so I did not want to start out what is going to be a day of fun and frivolity without acknowledging what has happened to the 49er family, this absolute tragedy, to the Ward family. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I just flat out cannot imagine.
And thank you for doing that and for pointing that out, because when we got the news and we got it on our show thread, and I was actually at the doctor with my two-year-old, and I had that moment of, you know, dread for myself and obviously feelings for Charvarius and their family. But you think about that when you have, especially when you have a younger child, and the whole thing about, you know, the fragility of life, and, you know, you put them down to sleep and, you know, you hope for the best and all the rest of it. And, you know, I have a couple of kids in their 20s, and even that is devastating to think about when your child precedes you in death. But when you talk about a one-year-old, there are really no words to describe it and to explain it. And I just hope that he's able to, you know, find his own peace and, you know, forget the whole thing about the trade deadline and how he's done this year and all the rest of it. Like, this is real humanity, and the loss of a child, especially at that age, there's no way that you can ever get over it.
No, her name was Imani Joy,
okay.
And Charvarius and his lovely Monique, they lost her today, or the announcement came today. We don't have really any information in terms of what happened or why or how, and I know that to make sense of these things is really, really difficult, but I think you just said it well. I can't imagine, and the two of them will never be the same, and so I'm just so, so sorry. I'm so sorry to Charvarius Ward and the entire 49er family for this absolute nightmare become reality.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to say it. And, you know, like you mentioned, you got three, I've got three, and, you know, you live your day every day for your children. And I'm sure he was in the same boat, and he and Monique are in the same mindset. And, you know, to have this happen at this point is just completely life-altering forever.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Imani Joy. And our thoughts and our love go out to Charvarius Ward and his entire family. All right. We are at Thrive City. We're getting ready for Warriors Pelicans tonight and tomorrow. We want to see as many of you as possible come by and say hi. Truly, do not feel like, you know, you don't feel like you're bothering us. We would love to say hi to as many of you as possible. And if we complete a pass or something like that out here on the plaza, then who knows? Then the relationship is even more special. So come on out and see us. By the way, before we leave the 49ers situation, and Grandy's grades are coming up in about 15 minutes.
I can't wait.
We do it every Tuesday, yeah, after a 49er game. And so we do need to go through this one. Because
it's going to be an Oprah session.
Well,
get an A, and you get an A,
maybe,
and you get an A.
Maybe. I would imagine that, well, it's not like that game didn't have some frustrations involved,
right,
in it.
No warts.
So,
a couple of pimples.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
no legitimate warts or bunions.
Well, we'll see what Grandy has
blisters
to say. I got a wart. I got a wart that I'd like to pass out today.
Jeez.
Why the hell didn't you go get Deontay Johnson? I don't get
it. They couldn't afford it.
They couldn't afford it. Did y'all see? This guy ends up on the Baltimore Ravens, who I think are very similar to the San Francisco 49ers, where you look at their wide receiver room and you're like, you're fine. Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar, you're fine, but we could use depth and maybe a little bit of extra pop. And what did the Ravens have to pay for it? Hang on, checks notes, nothing.
Nothing?
Literally next to nothing. The Ravens swapped out a fifth-round pick in exchange for a sixth-round pick, and that means because it's a Ravens pick that they're giving up versus receiving a Panthers pick,
right,
they barely had to just move down in the draft at all.
Like a 10-pick move.
They moved down a little bit, and the Panthers, yeah, are still picking up most of the money.
Oh, God.
I don't get how the 49ers did not beat this price. And so I wonder what everyone thinks about that. Plus, I do want to further explain the comment that you made,
yeah,
to Steiny during the crossover, because our buddy Raymond Ritter, one of our favorites, is here, and he was thinking about you halfway across the country in Utah early
this
week.
Which is a little weird, but flattering.
Well, but he's walking through the Delta Center,
yeah,
and he's like, why do they have a picture of Dibs? Why do they have a picture of Dibs
That's
on the
right.
wall
That's right.
at the Delta Center? Turns out, when you zoom in, it's Billy Joel,
yeah,
but could have fooled me.
Yeah.
When I saw it at fast pace, I'm like, there's Dibs
there
at the
is.
Delta Center.
And no doubt. And so on the way home that night, I was listening to the Warriors, and I was also putting in a little Billy Joel playlist and working on my Billy Joel karaoke in case you ever need me for a karaoke night here. Yeah, you can pick your song. I could do them all. He and I are of the same tenor. He's a better singer than me, barely.
Except for you usually did start the fire. I'll say that that about you. You usually did start the fire.
That's
kind of your thing.
What's funny is my brother and sister, famously, when they were 4 and 3, they actually did start a fire. 1968 in Fairfax.
A Dibley family tradition.
Yeah, they were playing with matches, which back then was like playing with Lincoln Logs when you were a kid. Yeah, Legos, whatever. Matches, a lighter. Anyhow, so happy to be out here, and just looking behind me reminds me of, like, the goodness, and this is all great. Chase Center, yes, we love it. The Warriors, Steph, Thrive City, all the rest of it. The All-Star Game is coming, Mark.
The All-Star Game is coming, I know.
The All-Star Game.
I really feel like it probably hasn't gotten the attention that it deserves as we now move into the fall season. November is going to flip to the calendar here real soon.
And that's why we are in front of a backdrop, a 15-foot-high advertisement.
This is the best backdrop we've ever had on this station.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, the All-Star Game is coming. Like, the Super Bowl is coming next year, so 2026 to Levi's, whatever. Yeah. That feels like forever away. The All-Star Game is coming in, like, 4 months.
4.5 months.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Let's do this thing, absolutely. So, anyway, 888-957-9570. Does Dibs look like Billy Joel?
Oh, boy.
And also, did the Niners miss out on an opportunity? I know you weren't that hot on the wide receiver idea, but Dibs, he was free. He's free. Come on, man. You're a media member. When you see free food and it's not your favorite food, do you still grab it? You grab it.
I would say no, but
yes,
you know
you
I'd
do.
Be lying. I had a half a donut yesterday that was at least 9 hours old.
Like, for me, the worst pastry of all pastries is a scone. It just is. But if I see a free one, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it.
Well,
because it's free.
And you're the king of the scoop and score. At the end of the day, we have a suite full of free food, and we get to the end of our show, and whatever's left,
bro,
it's a to-go box for you.
We are the closers of 95.7 The Game.
I was in need of a closer.
We got a job to do, and I'm going to do it, okay? But yeah, we're out here in beautiful Thrive City getting ready for a Warrior game. When the guys said that there was free pizza at the station, I almost left and went back home.
I'm with you.
But anyway, Deontay Johnson was free, man. You could move down in the draft about 10 to 20 spots, pay about, I don't know, $300,000 for the rest of the year. That's literally all that's happening. And you could have a much more bolstered, professional, wide receiver room that's also a little bit more Deebo injury-proof.
Yeah.
I think that people need to remember that. I know it's the bye. I know Juwan's coming back. That's all great. Deebo Samuel gets hurt seemingly almost every game. And so why wouldn't that happen at least another time or two in the second half of the season? I don't know what the inner workings are. Maybe there's another receiver. Some people are saying that the Niners are going to bring back Kendrick Bourne, and that's just a depth piece. He's not as good as Deontay Johnson, not even close, but he's a free agent at the end of the year. This is absolutely, like, this is a fling. All you had to do was go on a free fling with another wide receiver, and you're not tied down, by the way. You're not cheating on anyone else. Brandon Ayuk's out for the year. He'll be back next year. Deontay will be gone. This is a missed opportunity
to me
for the 49ers.
You don't need him. You only run three wide receivers about 20% of the time. You have two receivers already. You drafted Pearsall. He looks good early. Deebo, whatever you can say about injury, he's going to be back, and he's going to be healthy enough. You got Juwan coming back. You don't need another receiver. What you need is a D lineman, and you probably need a linebacker, and you might need a safety who is a real veteran, a grown man in the secondary where you got a bunch of kids back there. Wide receiver was not a need, and you can spend a fifth-round pick if you want to bring in a guy that you don't really need. For me, it's largesse. You don't need to bring in a receiver when you already don't have a lot of receivers that you actually utilize.
But I'm gonna lean on Kyle Shanahan's words yesterday. You're right, if it wasn't a full-level capital N need, but this was not a need price. This was a piece of cake price. This is move down a few picks in the draft, don't spend any money, and he's gone at the end of the year. That's a want, and the price for the want was absolutely right. And what Kyle Shanahan said yesterday is, we don't look at it in terms of positional need. We look at it opportunistically to see if there's anything that can make us better. This would have made you better. It would have made you better.
Well, I don't know if it would necessarily have made you better, because you don't necessarily need that player like you need other players. And maybe, you know, the player at the end of it had a greater desire to go somewhere where he'd actually be used. Because if he was here, he wouldn't be used that much. And look at the targets from any game. It's 4 and 4 and 4.
That's fine.
Deontay Johnson's not getting the ball here.
That's fine. Brandon Ayuk doesn't get the ball here. And they paid him $30 million.
Yeah.
All right. We got a lot to get to. Grandy's grades, Mark Schlereth, all kinds of stuff with the Warriors to discuss as we get ready for the two-game set against the Pelicans starting tonight, plus tickets. Tickets to the Warriors and Hawks. Wednesday, November 20th, we've got two pair. So 3:30 and 4:30, plus another chance to qualify for the Scorpions tickets and trip to Las Vegas next March. That'll happen between 5 and 5:30. We are jammed. We are busy. We are happy. 888-957-9570, the number. Grandy's Grades around the corner. Live from Thrive City, Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
Sounds like she's a stretch four. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
At least for the time being in the Kerr household, was it Lulu and Mabel? Is that what we decided?
That's right. That's right.
Lulu and Mabel.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Olive and Mabel of internet fame.
Oh, should be Lindy and Mabel if it's a backup point guard, because now Lindy might be the backup
Lindy
point guard.
Lindy Waters might be the backup point guard tonight. I can't wait to see what they do. We'll be seeing it tonight at Chase Center with the Pelicans in town for two. Willard and Dibbs live at Chase Center. Thrive City outside, brought to you by Xfinity. We're also sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. And before we hop back to some of the football stuff, we need to pass along something that a little birdie just told us. A little birdie just told us something. And the Warriors would love for you to hear this. Obviously, Klay's return is going to be a spectacle in and of itself. And if you haven't looked at a schedule recently, it's not very far off. It's on November 12th. So a couple of weeks away, Klay Thompson will be back here at Chase Center as a member of the Dallas Mavericks. And a little birdie just floated to us that the Golden State Warriors believe that they are set to do the coolest thing that has ever been done.
Ever.
For a returning player in the history of professional sports. They go, you know how everyone does a video? Video.
Two videos.
Maybe a video before and during the game.
Double video action.
That's a great idea. The Warriors would like to hire you for their marketing department.
Yeah,
you sound
I'm busy.
Qualified.
I'm already employed, but yeah.
But anyway, that's the Warriors say it is going to be the coolest thing ever done for a returning player in the history of professional sports.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's incredible. And I actually, as that little birdie was walking away, I threw out my idea, and it wasn't refuted. I thought it would be cool if they did Klay for Klay. So they have somebody come out and fashion Klay out of Klay.
Oh.
Slap it in the kiln. Boom. Klay and Klay.
All right.
Bam, 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 and I'm fired.
What else you got?
That's about it.
Okay. Who was the one who
I'll show
said,
myself
did they,
out.
Did someone say that they get him a boat? Was that you also?
No, that was Tim Jordan.
Tim said him a boat, which I thought would be really cool.
I'm on a boat.
Yeah, no, I thought that'd be a great idea if you could actually send him out on the boat during the game.
Right.
Like, the coolest thing would be if Klay did not score his 19 points during the game while they're playing the Warriors. Hopefully Steph will be back for that game. That's the other thing that right now, and I think that the thought is that he should be all of that. It would be a real shame if he missed that one. So anyway, 888-957-9570 is the number. Mark Schlereth is going to join us in about 25 minutes. We're live at Thrive City. just filled with surprises today. Less than an hour from now, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Warriors-Hawks game on November 20th. We'll do it again at 4:30, 5 o'clock hour, Zaza in the Plaza, and we're also going to have you have another opportunity to qualify for the Vegas trip and the tickets to see the Scorpions in March. So we've got all that. Doc Pandy is going to stop by to talk about the Steph Curry injury and much more. I'm not against what you were saying, Niner trade deadline-wise. We're talking about the fact that I'd really would have loved to see the 49ers go get Diontae Johnson, who went to the Ravens today, for an absolute song. Very little money, very little draft position, changed hands. I thought the Niners could have and should have beat that price. But you're not wrong. I would be surprised if they didn't do something, and something that helps them stop the run is probably what they're thinking is priority one. I get that.
Yeah, and also to be able to maybe, I don't know, pressure the quarterback up the middle, and Okawanu has been good in that spot, and you know, Floyd and Bosa around the outside, if you had one more piece in there, and I know that Javon Hargrave was supposed to be that guy, and he wasn't because he got hurt, and beyond that, you haven't had a lot of pressure in the interior defensive line, and I also think about the game against Kansas City where they basically gave the ball to Kareem Hunt and they ran it right down your throat between the guard and the tackle over and over and over. So I think about their needs, and wide receiver for me is probably fourth or fifth on the list. And yeah, you can always look at injury, and if Debo gets hurt and he tends to miss games, fine. And you could look at that for any position, but as I look at it right now on need, I look at the D-line and even linebacker ahead of wide receiver. And yeah, granted, Diontae Johnson was acquired for not a very high price, and you have the ability to get that done. I don't think that that position is one that you need right now.
Yeah, I just don't look at it as an either or. I like, okay, you want a defensive tackle? Let's get a defensive tackle. Get Diontae Johnson also. To move down 15 picks and pay $250,000? Fine. Like, that doesn't preclude anything else from happening, if you ask me. And you know, more opportunity to get better. The Chiefs have already made two moves, and we're still a week away from the deadline. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not refuting anything you're saying. To me, it's an and, not an or.
Right.
They can do what you're asking for, and they could have done this too.
They could have done it, but I think that they look at their roster and they look at their receiver room and think, we're probably pretty good. When you get Juwan back, and you have Debo, and you have Ricky, and you only are going to dress five on game day, right? And so, Ronnie Bell, for everyone who wants to diss Ronnie Bell, and we all do, he is a special teamer. He plays on almost every special teams unit, so he's got to be up. And then it gets down to Chris Conley or Jacob Cowing, and Cowing plays on special teams, so I really think that if you bring in Diontae Johnson, and I don't know what he does on special teams,
nothing.
I would bet that he probably does nothing.
He has some return experience in his background.
Right,
so.
But I think if you look at, like, your receiver room, and you're going to dress five on game day, and you've got two of them who are special teams guys, Cowing and Bell, now you're down to three, and it's going to be Debo and Pearsall for sure, and Juwan. I just don't know if Diontae Johnson can come in and supplant one of those three as a non-special teams wide receiver
you
guy.
You can dress more than five.
You They've can, done and it. They dressed six last week.
They dressed six last week.
Yep.
Chris Conley is someone who I'm getting pretty close to putting alongside Ronnie Bell as, like, do we really need Chris Conley on this football team? Nothing against
you. Can't live without Ronnie Bell.
Well, then live without Chris Conley.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an upgrade, and it was a cheap upgrade, and it provides you insurance if a receiver goes down, and, oh, by the way, you're still, and I love the early returns on Ricky Pearsall, only get better, but it's still only been two football games,
yeah.
And I don't want the 49ers to end up in a spot where they're putting too much on his shoulders too soon. So, again, if the price were high, I'd understand what you're saying,
yeah.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised they didn't do it. But anyway, let's keep the conversation moving forward. Mark Schlereth is going to join us at 3. We'll get into everything that the 49ers are facing and beyond. The whole NFC, the whole league for that matter, the trade deadline. We'll talk to Stink coming up in 20 minutes. But right now, a different Mark. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Grandy's Grades.
How did the 49ers grade out this week? Did they pass? Did they fail? Let's find out. It's time for Grandy's Grades on Willard and Dibs.
Hey, guys, how's it going? You ready?
Hi, Grandy.
You ready?
Man,
live
where'd you
Grandy.
Come from?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
I didn't even know you were
out of
sitting
nowhere.
Right there.
Just right next to Dibs. I don't know if you can see me on YouTube and Twitch, but Grandy's great signs, as always, here on 95.7 The Game. After a Week 8 win for the Niners against the Cowboys, 30-24 was the final. As always, we've got seven groups to go through, and we will begin, as we always do, with the quarterback. That was Brock Purdy, as always, and for his performance against the Cowboys. A little bit of a rough first half, but an excellent second half. I didn't think the first half was as bad as many do.
Yep.
An A- is what I gave Brock Purdy for his performance.
I like that.
Week 8.
I like that. I had it down as a B+, and I thought that you'd be actually lower than that, and I look at a couple of plays where fourth down, he throws behind Debo, and then he had the fumble where he tried to collect it. Didn't ultimately cost him. Neither one really cost him. In the second half, he was spectacular. The scrambling was great, efficient, and timely. And ultimately, his job is to not turn it over and win the game, and he did that, Mark.
Yeah, I like your B-plus grade, and I'm a little surprised, Grandy, that you were as high as
oh,
you were.
Getting higher than both of you.
Yeah. I mean, and on a weekday, no doubt. But anyway, I think he was good, and I think the further away we've gotten from the game, everybody's starting to realize that first half was not as bad as you thought. When you go over the tape, we were frustrated. They couldn't get in the end zone. That was more, in my opinion, the fault of a bunch of holding penalties than it was Brock. I can't give him something in the A bracket, though, solely because of one play. If it's fourth down and someone's about 5 yards from you, you got to hit him in stride. Debo could have caught it. He gets his share of the pie, but that ball alone for me knocks him down to about a B+.
Fair enough. We're close, though. A-, B+, yep. In the same neighborhood there. Up next to skill positions, this is running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. For that group, I gave a familiar grade. Another A-. The only major negative I can think from this one was Eric Saubert and his hold on the big Debo Samuel touchdown that took that 66-yard score off the board. Other than that, a lot of good stuff. Isaac Garendo came in and filled in for Jordan Mason. He was awesome. George Kittle on National Tight Ends Day was amazing as well. Debo Samuel had that touchdown taken away, had another 47-yarder. Skill positions, an A- for me.
Gave it a B+, and you hit on the big one with the Saubert hold, but also there was the confusion on the play where, I think it was Conley and Pearsall, you go here, no, you go there, no, you go up, no, I go up.
Called back a big play.
You had Juszczyk with a hold, you had Kittle with a hold, and Debo with a big drop on a screen on 2nd and 20 that would have been, he had blockers, he had a convoy, that would have been a something, so I brought it down to a B+ for that.
I'll bring it down to a B, because
wow.
you guys are forgetting
tough love.
You guys are forgetting a play that could have ruined the season. Could have ruined the season,
yeah.
on two
it.
Fronts.
Say it with your chest.
Isaac Garendo totally whiffing a block that A, could have put Brock Purdy on IR, and B, it could have given the Cowboys the ball in the high red zone down by 6 points with about 4 minutes to go in the game.
We'll get to that one.
That was
that impacts a different category that we'll get to a little bit later.
That was a huge, huge play. You're also forgetting that while Debo Samuel gets a small part of the blame for the fourth down incompletion, gets a big part of the blame for the ridiculous drop that he had about four plays later. So I'm not saying it was a bad day. I'm just saying it was a B. This was not an A-level performance.
Wow, Willard, the harshest grader of the Niners through two rounds? What is going on here?
I need the two of you to get a little hair on your chest. This is getting a little annoying, the homerism from the two of you.
I'm
here to fight it.
Nice,
I won't have this crap anymore. I'm holding this team accountable. That's enough out of you two.
Hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
Change of pace from Willard there.
Can
All right, up next, we got the offensive line. It was a pretty good day for the group. I mean, they averaged 6.2 yards per carry on the ground. Garendo was a big part of that. Ricky Pearsall had the 39-yard run. That influences that a little bit as well. Purdy was only sacked once, but all the injuries for Dallas, it's not like this is a very good defensive front that played on Sunday against the Niners. So all of that considered, opponent considered, B+ for the offensive line.
That makes about sense. I might even say A- because you're only allowed to play the people who you're playing, and it was the best best pocket and the most time that Brock Purdy has had all year. Yes, their two best pass rushers were out. But again, that's who was in front of them. They opened up holes, and they gave Brock Purdy time. So you got to give him some love. I'm going to go A-. Thank you very much, my
brother.
Yeah,
thank you. And shout out Purple Rain, one of the all-time great albums. B-plus for me is where it felt like the...
Thank you, man.
The range would be, thank you so much. Appreciate you. I thought that, you know, in general, you're right, Grandy, not a really imposing front. You didn't have, Parsons was out and Dallas didn't really present a huge amount of pressure. And I thought, in general, the run game was effective. Jordan Mason, maybe not as much because of his injury, but by and large, a clean game. A couple of unnecessary penalties early in the game, but I had him as a B+.
All right, B+ for the offensive line. Now we move over to the defensive side of the football. The front seven, this is the down linemen and the linebackers. Considering a similar thing, who the opponent was, also the Cowboys without Rico Dowdle, so they're running out a couple of old, slow running backs in Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook. I gave the front seven an A- for their effort despite that. I mean, Nick Bosa was good as well. He had just one sack. Sam Okawano had the other sack, but Bosa also forced the first interception that Dak threw on the left side to Jair Brown because it was his pressure in the face of Dak. Campbell, who I know you highlighted, Campbell had his best game as a Niner. Not a super high bar to clear, but it was his best game as a Niner, and Fred Warner was awesome as always. Could have had an interception late to seal the game. I gave the front seven an A- for what they did against Dallas.
I'm going to again call out the homerism and call it a B+. It was good. It was good. But I will say this. For example, even though Dallas's stats were not good in that run game, and they did, they only averaged 2.9 yards per carry, I still saw some poor tackling at times. I saw them move the ball on the ground, quite frankly, even better than they should have, because as you pointed out, these are two washed-up running backs that they're throwing at them. Yep. Best game of the year for Devondre Campbell, no doubt. D. Winters, love the aggressiveness. Hope his concussion is okay. He got knocked out of this one. Warner almost had the pick at the end. Pass rush was good. I thought could have, should have been better against a weak offensive line. And Dak Prescott, who doesn't move very well, I would have loved to see more like four sacks instead of two. Good, but not great. B+ for me.
That same B+ is what I had down. And, you know, you would have liked to have them wreck the game a little bit more, and I think the missed tackles is certainly one to look at where, you know, there's a couple of plays where Bosa had his hands on a Cowboy and didn't get it, and Fred missed the tackle as well. I do am glad that you highlighted Campbell because I thought he played very well. The front seven was not dominant, but they were solid in the game, for sure.
Yeah, I think those are fair points. Up next, we got the secondary, of course, corners and safeties. This was interesting because I thought for the most part they dominated this game. Jair Brown, D'Amador Lenore interception. That D'Amador Lenore interception, by the way. What a play.
Yeah,
Demo is awesome. The tragic news aside, Mooney Ward, a couple of bad holding penalties on Sunday, and I hope everything was all right with him and his family, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the Ward family, of course. But then the fourth quarter was awkward. You kind of got in the prevent defense when you were up by 17 points, and CeeDee Lamb was open like four or five times in the fourth quarter, so I felt like the secondary was really good for the majority of this football game, but what happened in the fourth, it knocked it down to a B for me for the secondary.
Yeah, I actually want to give them about a B+, because I think in terms of a group, for about three quarters, they were playing as clean as any group on the entire field. And so you mentioned the interceptions. I think they were there. They were there where they needed to be, and on an individual-by-individual basis, they were playing pretty well. The fourth quarter, though, knocks it out of the A range to a B+, because you got guys running into each other. You got CeeDee Lamb wide open down the field, and obviously a prevent defense drive that only took 30 seconds. So something was wrong out there. But I give them a little bit, not a pass, but look, they were tired. It's the fourth quarter, and the offense couldn't stay on the field when they needed to because they had kind of gone into victory mode. So it knocks it down, not too much B+ for me.
Down to a B- for me because, you know, Mooney Ward, and again, thoughts and prayers to the family, and I don't know how long back this has gone with the tragedy that they reported today, but the two big pass interference penalties, and also when you have two of your guys pick each other on a play where the best receiver in football outside of Justin Jefferson is able to break free and score, and even the previous touchdown that he caught where it was a clear coverage break.
Yeah.
So his two touchdowns, one was you forgot to cover him, and the other one was you knocked each other over. Those, to me, are glaring mistakes. That's why I put it at a B-.
Yeah, I think that's fair. B-, B, B-plus, somewhere around there sounds about right to me. Up next, we got special teams, and how about this? A rare good grade for special teams?
Hey!
8 weeks in. This might be the first A I've given out from maybe week one they got an A because Jake Moody made all five of his field goals. But an A- for special teams today. The only thing I can remember that went wrong was one kickoff out of bounds when the Cowboys got the ball at the 40-yard line. Other than that, nothing terrible.
Well,
A-.
And nothing anywhere near as bad as what the Cowboys did on one of their kickoffs by having the ball land short of the 20 and giving the Niners the ball all the way out at the 40-yard line to start a drive. That's pretty funny. But yeah, I'll go with you on an A-. Look, don't forget also, you're on, I know it's kicker three, but in a way it's kicker four since the punter tried one earlier this year too. You're on kicker four, and he nailed it. He had a great day. He kicked long field goals. A- for me on special teams.
Highest grade of the year for me all season, B-.
Come on, man.
You cannot
haterade.
You cannot kick the ball out of bounds in that spot. And that thing was way out of bounds. Inexcusable.
Look like you hitting a golf ball.
Whatever. It's 27-10. You just scored. And you don't laugh at that, Jordan.
No, it was funny.
No, because wow, my kickoffs like never go
funny.
Left. They always go right.
No, but
so
was,
that's
it,
where it's inaccurate. My kicks go way to the right. You cannot kick the ball out of bounds when you've got a 17-point lead. And the kick coverage, your kicker never really was able to kick the ball into the end zone. And I know he's on kicker four, but better, but still not good enough to get an A grade for me.
That's rough. That's rough, Dibs. All right. Last one.
Speaking of rough.
I like Homer Dibs better.
Bring it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of rough, worst grade of the day for me goes to the coaching staff. I gave them a C+ for their performance against the Cowboys on Sunday. First of all, you came out flat, but you got to give them credit. You adjusted well in the second half. You scored 24 unanswered points. Then, as we were talking about earlier with the defense in the secondary, you changed up the scheme entirely in the fourth quarter defensively. It allowed the Cowboys to get back in the game. And then the play you're talking about where Guerrero didn't get the block on Purdy's blind side. It's 2nd and 3 with 3 minutes and 25 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Why do you call a pass on 2nd and 3? Why do you call a pass? Even if Guerrero does pick up the blitzer and it's an incomplete pass and the clock stops, what are you doing? Hand the ball off, get a first down, kill clock. I cannot make sense of that play. A C+.
You go first because I forward tease. I have a rebuttal. Go ahead.
I like it. B-, and that whole sequence was egregious to me. And even before that, on the previous drive, when you get the ball back after you forced Dallas to punt, 3rd and 1, and you run that play action, and Brock rolls and rolls and rolls, and he throws a pass, and it's deflected, and they almost pick that off. That's one where just run the ball, keep the ball. I thought Kyle got too cute in the fourth quarter, so that's why I had it a B-.
I'm going all the way up to B+, and here's why. The only
there you
reason,
go.
Well,
it's because you live with the head coach.
And it's because there's things that you haven't seen on tape. You need to go watch it for an 8th time.
Oh, the All-22?
The All-22. Everybody's got a homework assignment tonight. I want you to go find video of what happened down the field when Brock Purdy got sacked and Guerrero missed a block. As a coach, you are only as strong as what your players go out there and do as far as their assignments. You can hate the fact that he threw the ball. What I think Kyle knew the whole time was that the middle of the field was literally an absolute chocolate factory. It was nothing but dessert out there for the Niners whenever they wanted it. Ricky Pearsall had about 8 yards of separation down the middle of the field on that play. And if Guerrero even gets a piece of that defender, the ball game is over. You can say he should not be throwing there. I think he knew that it was going to pay wonderful dividends. The only reason I don't give coaching an A is because on the defensive side of the ball, the prevent defense, which was wobbly in the fourth. We will play for you later in this show sound from Trayvon Diggs on Micah Parsons' podcast this week, talking about how Kyle Shanahan had the Dallas Cowboy defense in knots the whole game. So the coaching staff deserves a nod for what I think was a pretty well-called game. You can't do anything when your players go out there and blow the assignments they're given.
Homer Willard is back, Dibs.
He's back.
God, I mean, he went to the bathroom, and he came back.
He's back.
And he's back. All right. Whew, isn't it nice when all is right in the world?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. We are 30 minutes away from giving away two tickets to the Warriors and Hawks on November 20th. And we're like 3 minutes away from talking to Stink. Mark Schlereth joins the show to go over everything, Niners and beyond, live at Thrive City, getting ready for a two-step with the Pelicans. It's Willard and Dibs.